It's all connected,
all right. You can guarantee yourself of that. Welcome to the show. This is the It's All Connected Show. Now, with circling. So, yeah, we're now at this time here, 2 p.m. Eastern rather than 7 p.m. Eastern. And I say we correctly at this point. I always said we anyway, even if it was just me for whatever reason.
But did that feel odd to you?
It didn't feel odd saying it, but then after thinking about it, it was always odd. But so I don't know why, but I do tend to refer to myself in a solo show as we, which...
You think that's like a Nietzsche deep fear of being alone?
No,
fear of being alone.
No, I think it's nothing to do. I think it's the fact that I have many entities within my head.
Ooh.
Voices from beyond. Anyway, welcome to the show. We are live on reallibertymedia.com and on rlmradio.xyz, also on realliberty.org and other places where we're out there. So if you're not over here in the chat on reallibertymedia.com, come on over, jump on in, talk to all the great folks that are here. We always got a nice group of folks. And I have decided, however, that we don't need to read people's names off.
No, because the other shows do that.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm not sure how that started. It was a long time ago. I think Freaker's Ball probably started doing that. But you all know who you are if you're here, right? Anyway, come on in. There's a big, nice group of folks over here. And jump into the chat and say, hi, howdy, how you doing? And be one.
You know, when I was a teenager, my best friend was paranoid schizophrenic, right? And we didn't know. So we had a lot of fun, and then all of a sudden it turned really serious, and she got admitted to the insane asylum. So I started hanging out there with her and the other nutters who were in there.
Nutters?
Yeah, they were. They were nutters, man, right? Okay. And one of them, he was writing down these big, large books of memoirs. And he always gave them to me, and he wanted me to put them in the Royal Archive of documents for the Kingdom of Denmark, right? Which is like a building you go to, and he wanted me to take them there. So I had all these writings from this madman where he just rambled his paranoid schizophrenic thoughts out. And I once asked him, so how do you define insanity? And the guy, his name was Richard, the guy, he says, when you're never really ever alone.
Oh,
so that was like
his definition
of insanity.
I guess I am insane.
Apparently. Do you write big books of all your thoughts?
Oh, no. That sounds too much like work.
Yeah. Well, that's just, it reminded me of that when you said I'm really never ever alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is, you know, the name of the show, though, right? It's all connected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I have titled today's show.
You've titled it.
Yes, I always title the shows, but today I've titled today's show. We have been encircled.
Oh, we've been encircled. So, in your serial number right now, indexing, right? Is this? Do you do a point something one for this show, or did you just start over?
No, it's just going to be the next episode, episode 7.
Okay, so you don't do a 7.1.
No, I mean, you know, I could do that, but...
Well, if you don't need to.
Yeah, I don't really see a need to.
It'll be
seamless, right?
It will all be connected anyways, right?
Exactly.
Yes. So I have some questions for you, Grimnir.
All right, go ahead.
About connected. But because when I think about connected, I see it as a very positive thing, right?
Yeah, in general it is. It's as you got open lines of communication to whatever that you're connected to, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But then there's also being attached to something.
Right, yes. You were defining the differences between attached, which is a physical thing, versus connected, which is not, or not necessarily.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about the physical thing.
Right, but I mean, being attached would lead to a physical thing, even though it's not always the case, not always true. I mean, like, you could say you and Flash are attached.
That we are.
Right, but that's not always a physical thing.
No.
No, but you're also connected, which is always there, whether you're in the same physical place or not. You know, you could be off at your office at work, wherever, but you still have that connection going on between you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you wouldn't say that since everything is connected, you wouldn't say that everything is attached to each other, though, right?
No, that would make a mess.
that would be chaos theory, yeah. Though, right? In some way. when somebody farts in Edinburgh, it somehow makes a difference in New Mexico.
Well, that may be true, actually, but it'd take a while for that effect to cross over the Atlantic there and get on over to here.
Do you think some people or, you know, some things tend to attach itself to us so that we're no longer just connected, but we're all sort of attached? Do you think that's like a Karen syndrome?
Kind of a parasitic type thing?
Yeah, well, where whatever somebody does on the street all of a sudden affects you in some way and you feel a need to correct it?
Well, it depends on what it is, obviously. I mean, if you know about it to begin with, to start with, I mean, that's got to... And it's for some reason you feel opposed to whatever action that was. Then certainly you may feel a need to connect it, or you may not. You may just say, well, that's their thing. That's what they did. They wanted to do it in that manner. And I'm okay with it because even though it may have some effect on me, it's not serious enough to get me to move into action to modify what they had done, change that outcome.
Hmm.
So, as I...
When I...
Okay, go ahead.
Mm? No, you go.
No, you go.
No, you go.
Go!
Okay, well, I was just going to say, right now, looking at where you're at, right?
Right.
Because, not where you are in Little Moriarty, but in the national whatever territory we call America right now, right?
Right, right.
Everything is like, everything is burning right now. That's what it looks like.
Okay. Well, I don't know that everything is burning, but there are isolated areas where things are burning and being smashed and whatever.
Do you think maybe some of that is because people forgot to be connected, but they got a fuckload of attached to everything.
Well,
you got all these things, external things like isms and movements and ideas and opinions and all these projected values that people sort of attach themselves to, right?
I think a lot of it has to do with mindsets that are projected into them from external sources that have alternative motives that they aren't telling the people about that cause them to think, all right, what that guy said makes sense to me, but they don't look beyond the surface comments or statements or however you want to put it, to understand what's driving the person to say that in the first place, causing them to go out and perform whatever action, either for or against the things that have been programmed into their brain. And of course, that goes, you know, that's been going on for a long time, but it seems to be, well, at this point, and if you compound it with other things that are going on, like these lockdowns, these global lockdowns, which have driven people to a state of total restlessness, and they can't take it, you know, being cooped up in their places or forced to wear these stupid things over their faces. And so they find this other thing that is maybe, you know, important to them to a degree, but not to the major degree that would cause them normally to go out and start going after other people or people's property or whatever. But they do it now because of all the other frustrations that are going on. I think that's a big part of it. So,
but maybe, okay, I'm gonna dare a thought here, right?
Please.
I'm going to go with that. Maybe they forgot to be connected to the spirit and the source from which all life came, right? And instead they attached their whole being onto these external ideas and idealisms and groups and pictures and colors, right?
Right. Well, in that, and I think that it's easier and preferred for most or many, it's easier or preferred that somebody else tell them what to think.
Yeah.
Rather than they, what's that old, I forget where it came from, know thyself. That little thing is, I don't think most people actually do. They don't take the time to self-examine who they are as a person.
No, because that's interesting. If you ask a stranger, who are you? First off, they're going to give you a name, right? And then they're going to give you all these external attributes on top of them.
Right, yeah. They'll say, well, I'm a carpenter. Okay, yeah. That's something you do, but is that you?
And then if you go like deeper and you go, no, okay, if you take all that, who are you then, right? Then they will define themselves as some other status or something else they're in relation to somebody else.
Right.
And then eventually they'll go into their preferences. Well, then I'm somebody who likes ice cream, or I'm somebody that enjoys polo, or... But that's because it's a non-question, though, really. Who are you? Who are you, Grimnir, right?
Who
are
I?
You?
I am the rider, I guess, the rider in this vehicle that I'm in here, this flesh vehicle. And I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. This stuff, this whole reality, I guess you would call it, because that's what people call it. Although I don't believe it to be reality, but people call it as a reality. So I'm just the kind of an observer. I really am. I mean I do far more observing, watching, taking in well, the things that are around me in my environment, whatever that may be, whether it's, you know, right here in this room that I'm in, or whether it's, you know, through the internet or whatever, walking down the street, seeing people interact with each other. I enjoy observing the actions of others, and so for me, this is stuff that I'll you know, when I leave this place, this body, this realm, whatever you want to call it, that's all going with me. That's all part of me now. You know, this in my views and opinions of whatever it is that. I mean, you look out there and you see people doing things and you think, well, these people are just nuts. They're crazy. But again, like I said, I think they're being driven to that via information that is being pushed at them. And, you know, whether they take time to analyze that information or they just accept it and say, all right, I'm going with that. I think that's I think that's a key there.
Yeah.
But who are you?
Well, if you're the observer, right? Then I guess I'm more of a experimenter.
Okay.
I like to poke at shit. I like to put shit together. I like to see what happens. I like to start shit and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. And but you do that too. So that you can observe the outcomes, right?
Yeah.
So you may go about it in a more of a direct, hands-on type thing, but in the end, we're both doing it so that we can understand whatever it is that we're dealing with or seeing.
Yeah. I think pretty much when it comes to what am I, then I'm mainly just having fun.
Yeah, I think Rob Works has it right there. Circle is a number one shitster.
I am. I like to do shit. I like to see what happens. I like to plant shit in the garden. I like to see whatever happens. Put two stuff together and see what the fuck was it's that going to do. And it's all about learning, as you say. Okay, then I learned that. Now, I can tell you this much. I mainly do the same thing. The same way until I mastered it. Then I stop ever doing it. Once I learn something, I'm never going to do it that way ever again.
Okay, so, all right, so let's say you play a musical instrument. Do you play one?
No, not anymore. I used to play the organ.
Okay, so like anyway, you learn a song on the organ. And you play that song, it's perfect. It's exactly how you want it.
Yeah, then why would I ever play it again then?
For the entertainment of others, or?
That's just boring. Doing shit over and over again is just boring.
All right. Well, but you could win.
Yeah.
Redoing it.
I love the repeating until you mastered. That's really fun, right?
Yeah.
But once you mastered it, then what's the point of it then?
But you could always, even though the way you had it was exact and perfect, it's possible you can modify that a little bit and have that new thing be exact and perfect.
Because that, yeah, exactly.
So
then
you
add a little extra
flourish on the end or in the middle, wherever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the other one was terrific and great and perfect, but this one is too.
Yeah.
So even though...
But see, that's a different thing, right? It's that whole perfection thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in basic, whatever, you know, whatever is what's perfect, right? Because it is.
But does anything actually measure up to the ideal of perfection?
But see, how could something that isn't be more perfect than something that is? That's the thing I don't get. It's the whole, we can sit here and we can say, but if it was, or maybe, or it could be, or then it would be a lot better, or if this, then it would be perfect, or if this dude wasn't there, or if this didn't, I mean, all this stuff that we can sit and think about would make things better. Those are just illusions, right? They're not real. They don't exist.
Right, but even say something simple, like your name is Circle, but not talking about that kind of circle. They say you could never have a perfect circle. But you look at a circle that you create or somebody else creates, and it looks like a perfect circle, but in some way they say that you can't have a perfect circle.
Well, I'm going to say, if I'm going to hula hoop, right?
All right.
I can't hula hoop with some imaginary perfect circle. It doesn't exist. It's just something you pull out of your mind. It doesn't exist.
And Vinny says that it's the idea, not ideal.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's how you like it.
Vinny, he likes to correct stuff. Right, Vinny?
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, you know, like I said, if nothing's perfect, then there's always a correction to be done, right?
No, but it's really, you know, that's when we're back to the whole thing. Because everything is more than what it is now in its whatever end shape or current state. It, you know, everything is also the process and the energies and the history that made it and created it and molded it into what it is right now.
All right.
Nothing is never just a point, you know. Right?
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
You're not just you in this moment, right? You didn't magically appear in this whatever shape or form you're in right now. It took 60 years to mold that.
Yeah. And moldy, moldy it is. Oh.
Right. So you're not just the atoms and the physical compounds that you exist within you right now, right?
No, that's just what makes this, you know, what makes physical things up. Those atoms and compounds, those are not the actual substance.
No.
Everything that is
part of what it became. You know, where it came from and what it became, that those are also part of what is, right?
Right.
Right? So in this now, where everything led to this moment and everything, every little itty-bitty thing, you know, got together and it grew and it molded and it shaped and it all processed into this moment, right? How is that not perfect? How's that not perfect for this moment? How can we sit here and say, oh, but if only it was, or if only this and this guy became president? whatever, right?
Right?
You know, stupid shit you attached your own happiness to, right?
Yeah.
There are people out there, Grimnir, that attach their own happiness to whatever kind of person is in the White House.
Is that not insane? Is that not one of the most insane things? Is that you want somebody to be able to control you and everybody else, you go out there and cheer and clamor and march to have a certain person that is obviously no better than you are, to have them in control of things and tell you what you can do or not do.
It's insane. I keep coming back to the attachment part, right? It's because you attached your whole being or your own happiness or your own idea of what's good or what's perfect. You attach that to something external outside of yourself and you're going to be chasing it forever, right?
Of course, yeah. Most people, I'd say the large majority of people, know what's right and what's good and what's not good. And if they'd follow that thing, you know, within their own head saying, hey, what you're doing here, this doesn't make any sense. You're following along because this guy over here said, this is what everybody wants. And of course, nothing is what everybody wants. There's no thing that everybody wants.
Maybe I'm going to go with, you know, because as you said, right, earlier you said the whole thing about who are we really, and nobody ever really asked that question to themselves, who are you really? And it comes into the whole of because all that election bullshit and politics and all that, that's just noise, right?
It is.
A whole lot of noise.
It's a huge amount of noise, right?
Yes. And if you take it away, then there will be silence. And for a lot of people, that profound silence is really scary.
It is. I've noticed that about people. You know, most people, they want to have other folks, other people around them all the time. You know, they don't like being alone. They don't like being by themselves with their own thoughts. And to me, that's crazy. I'm totally the opposite of that. I absolutely enjoyed the isolation and the solitude that I can have by living alone and by just other than when I come in here on the IRC or whatever, if I have to go out into public for whatever reason, I don't need to deal with people. I can focus on my own self and what I am and what I think about things and not have other people's opinions and ideas pushing into my brain to say this is what's right and this is what's wrong, because I already know that.
Just like
those people would if they took the time
But see, you already have a distancing, right? Because you already say, this is not right, or this is not wrong, or it is not right, or it is not wrong, right?
Yeah.
But some people will be so attached to all that, that they're going to be like, you're not right, and he's not right, and I'm right, and you're not right.
Okay, I'm looking in the chat here. I don't mean to interrupt, but Pancakes is saying, silent is our natural nature, and Rob replies, yeah, nature is far from silent, which is absolutely true. But you're not going to hear the nature if you don't silence yourself.
No.
You have to take that time to quiet everything and get in tune with what's going on around you, away from the noises of other humans and as he's talking
and
about,
your own mind,
machinery,
and your own mind,
absolutely, and your own mind, and all of the voices there within your own mind.
And then we're like, you know, back to the whole thing about, you know, cutting those attachments while staying connected. Because if you go into nature, that is definitely what nature does for me. Is it helps me unattached or disattached, or however you would say that, detached, yeah, from all that bullshit that you spend. The more you're in among society and people around you, the more they're going to try to attach stuff on you, right? They're going to ask you about your opinions, and the minute you start speaking your opinion, well, I feel this and this, or I think this and that, you just attached yourself to some stupid opinion. And if you're not really careful, then you're going to attach yourself to all sorts of opinion that you never even thought about. And then when you go into nature, you can combat all that, and you can detach to detach from all that while you connect to the sounds of nature and to the other stuff of nature, which is like the energies and the frequencies of nature.
Right, or which there are an endless amount of those.
Yeah. And in that, by doing that, all that noise that comes from your own mind which was like all that chaos and noise that came from the outside world that in, put into your mind, all that can be silenced too. And nature does that beautifully.
Well, I was when I was listening back to our to that old show that we did on the perspectives, and you were talking about meditation, and I brought up the fact that okay, it, which you corrected me on, but I brought up the fact that no, it's good that you did because it made more sense after that. But I brought up the fact that. When you look at various meditation guides, people telling you how to get there, to get to the state where you want to be, the first thing you have to do is to quiet your mind, to silence your mind.
But that's not true. That's the process of meditation is doing that.
Right, and you brought out the fact that it's not possible to absolutely silence your mind. It's just because there's always something coming in. Into that there, and whatever those ideas may be, wherever they come from, they are a part of your consciousness of what things that are there, whether you want them there or not necessarily.
Yes, meditation helps you not get them bored into it, right?
No,
meditation helps so you can have a thought and you can just let it pass.
What's that? Get a bored?
Yeah, you don't have to get on board into the thought when it comes.
Oh,
you don't
okay.
have
so
to attach yourself to it
I
and
see,
run
see.
With it, right?
Right.
It can just come and go. And the same goes for feelings. You know, I often hear people, well, I can't control how I feel. Well, no, you can't control what kind of emotions and feelings come into you, but you can control how easy that you let them pass you, right?
Oh yeah, you don't
have to engage them.
Your reaction to that is absolutely up to you, and if you have some you know whatever level of self control, you don't just oh that guy what he did I didn't like it so I'm gonna go over there and do something bad to him.
Yeah,
there's no reason for that ever. You could say well he did that. And probably maybe examine the reasons why you think he did that. He believed it was the right thing to do. You didn't like it. You didn't agree with it. But it's up to you to say,
yeah.
Well, I don't have to multiply or expand on this reaction which I thought was incorrect by doing something incorrect myself.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And really on the, your own little level, right? Whenever a thought or an emotion pops up, you got to remember you don't have to engage it, right?
That's right.
They're going to come. They're going to, you know, emotions and thoughts, they're just going to come and go through your being. And the better you get at not just running with one, but sitting back and looking at it and going, do I want to engage that one? And just take control about it, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That took me a long time to learn that because I'm an anger person.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
You don't seem like an. You seem like a very.
No,
well...
I'm an anger person. I react with anger a lot, and I'm expressive about my anger. So if something, you know, if something, you know, that doesn't feel right or something doesn't look right or something isn't right, I react immediately and I go, hey, that isn't right.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm looking at your chart here that you sent me, your flow chart. And I get to your, under the It's All Connected there, the profoundly. We can't change anything by doing more of the same. And it leads off to the side where your anger part came in. Fueled by anger will create anger.
Yes. And that's pretty much a comment to what is happening in America right now, right?
In the world. It's not just America, that's for sure. But, I mean, America gets pointed out because they're the big bully of the world.
Because they're burning down each other, man.
You know, America pretends to stand on this moral high ground. And you look around, it's not true. It's never been true.
No.
About America.
I, the more I look at, and I hate to, because everybody is listening and everybody I know here are Americans. So I'm really going to try to say this without offending anybody.
Well,
right?
I think you may have just offended Frumpy.
I'm sorry, Frumpy. I'm sorry. I know Canadians, they kind of got this thing about being called American. I didn't mean you, Frumpy. Everybody but Frumpy. Right?
Yeah.
But the more I'm with you people, and the more of the America you show me, and the more I look at America through news and everything, the more I see how utterly tainted and poisoned everything is there. And I know that that's very judgmental from somebody who never been there.
Well, and I can imagine looking at it from outside. Getting your information wherever you get it from, the UK or I don't know what kind of news sources you guys have there in Denmark, but if you're here, if you live here, and you go walk outside up and down the road there, you're gonna see it's calm, it's peaceful. There's people just doing their thing. There's no rioting. But if you live in those little pockets where that stuff is going on. In Portland or in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, those places where all of the chaos is going on, then you probably think everything is like that, because that's what you see, that's your focus, and that's what you get.
But it's also your rhetoric, and this is where I didn't want to go. It's the American. I'm going to go with the American, and you all people can realize who's in it or not. You can group yourself however you want. But it's all based on violence. It's all based on war. So much of your language is about war.
Right.
You have so much division. Instead of trying to find together, the go-to solution of the American way is to start more, is to do drama, is to escalate things all the time. You escalate, not you. Everything gets escalated, right?
Right.
Every conflict becomes a super conflict and a It's like it goes from 0 to 100 within 2 seconds.
America was founded on war.
Yeah.
In order to start America, they had to go to war. And when they were doing that war, they were in cahoots with some people that you don't even know about that were either funding them or providing them weaponry or soldiers or whatever to go ahead and do that war. And behind that, it was all the corruption of the banks, of the banksters, the people that were loaning out all that stuff. So that once they got out of that war, they were in up to their neck in owing other people in various ways. And so with that, once that happened, and those people that had done whatever funding or other supplying. They wanted their due, what they felt it was due, and in order to do that, they had to make it so that all the Americans were controlled without realizing it.
because that's the whole thing, right? If we go back to the whole thing about all is more than what it is and it's now, everything is also what it became and the process that created it, right?
Yeah. Just because you add A and B doesn't mean all that's there is A and B.
No.
Because there was the fact of you, right? So that you had a thing there, and adding that A and B, whatever those A and B are.
Yeah, and everything and else encountered.
Right.
And I'm just, because I had like a bread. If you bake a bread, it's both the components that goes into the bread, but it's also the energy or the frequency that the baker added to it.
And whatever brought
baking it, right?
Whatever was brought those things into being components of what you put into it. So,
and see, this is one of the biggest, this is one of the biggest puzzles to me that I'm trying to figure out with knowing all you Americans, all you Yankee bitches and bastards, right?
Right.
Is that I gotta say this, so anybody can be angry with me now or take it to heart or whatever, but the American culture is tainted. It's poisonous. It's about war and violence and paranoia and fear.
Right.
All the way through.
Yeah, very, very toxic.
Yes. And then I look at...
Go ahead.
And then I look at a lot of people that I know, and they seem to, you are one of them, seem to have transcended that, right? And figured out another way to be, right?
Well, I like to say that it's due to apathy, because I just don't care. But
no, because if you didn't care about you, you'd be over there being attached your whole being to a Trump or something other stupid.
Well, I say that, but I don't actually. I mean, it's just easier than trying to explain.
I know.
But to say that it just doesn't matter, I just don't care. Because in the overall picture, I mean, none of us are here for really that long. We're here for a very, very short time, each individual. So what this person does or says doesn't make that much of a difference, generally speaking, not 100%, but in the long run. So you can have your views and opinions and get upset or happy or whatever about, you know, various things that go on. But overall, you know, it's such a minor little thing.
I will say this, though. Maybe, Grimnir, it's not because you have apathy. Maybe it's because you have a profound empathy with your own being. That you live in a world where others constantly piss you off and you don't want to be in that poison and toxicity. And maybe that's why that you evolved your being out of that.
I guess
maybe
I don't know.
Because you care.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a level there, and when I was younger, I would get more excited about crap that's going on in the world, and I found it to be valueless for me to do that, to be getting upset over the stuff that's going on.
Because it didn't feel nice, right?
Well, it wasn't. It just didn't do any good. It was pointless. See, the anger takes so much energy. The joy and the pleasure and the love, that gives energy. So do you want to get energy and feel good, or do you want to expend all your energy on something else that's going on? It seems ridiculous. You had mentioned, and you called us Yankees before. And I know you do that.
that's out of love. That's
I know. I know you do that out of jest. And that's cool. Yeah. That's fun. But although I don't recall ever meeting her, apparently the person that adopted my father, the woman of the two, there was a pair of people. Anyway, she hated Yankees. Oh, she hated him with a passion. And she was from, you know, South Florida. But if you came into her house and you were from, like, New York or somewhere up above the Mason-Dixon line, you were shit. And she would toss you out. over past things that had happened to somebody in her past that was now gone and done with. But if you were a Yankee versus being a rebel, then you were just nothing. You were not even human. So,
no.
And she apparently spent a lot of energy and time on that. And
well, I'm gonna go. I have it from the Danish Antifa. I grew up in the Antifa as a teenager, or Antifa-like environment, and we just call all American for Yankees.
No, I understand that most other countries consider all Americans to be Yanks. Yanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the Brits. They call us
Yeah.
Yanks.
Yeah, drink some Coke, Yankee. Yeah.
Have another cheeseburger, you fat fuck.
Yes. But really, I don't live, you know, when I first came on the internet and I started meeting Americans, they all told me that how they thought that everybody outside of America hated them.
Right.
Because they were the war nation and all that. Yeah. And they had all these self-hatred, all these people, because they've just realized what kind of horrible shit their state is doing to the world, not them, right?
Right.
And I got to say, I don't grow up around and I don't hang around people who hate America or hate Americans. Not
good.
At all.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't live in a place where there's that this whole hate towards America.
Good.
But
no,
there is
good.
Like a there is a healthy skepticism about becoming too American.
I would stick with that skepticism because I mean if you look at America and all the things done here, whether it is the people, you know, like the consumerism, which of course they were brainwashed into believing they always had to have the next better thing, the next best thing. Stick with, the Joneses got it, so I have to have it. That kind of mentality that drives people to keep on pushing and producing and consuming. Or if you look at the things that the government does, going around the world and bombing countries and saying they're doing it, you know, we're doing this for your freedom to bring you democracy because that's going to be so much better. But they destroy all the lives of all the people there, and they're not helping anybody by doing that. I mean, just look at the state of a lot of the countries that they've demolished over the years, and it's not been helpful. So I understand you should have a healthy skepticism about being Americanized.
I remember my history teacher in high school. She would say that because we went through the American Revolution and the American history, right? And she used to say that America is just it's so young, it doesn't have 1,000 years of history to rely on, so they're just reacting.
Okay, Vinny looked up the difference between a Yankee and a damn Yankee. So someone born north of the Mason-Dixon line and moves to the South, that would be a damn Yankee, I think. yeah.
But see, that sort of nobody but a fucking Yankee knows what the Mason-Dixon line is. Okay?
Right, right. Well, I'm sure that you probably have geographical features in your country that we wouldn't understand references to either.
Yeah, but that's the fun part about my country. It's you can drive from one end to the other in 6 hours, right? But along that drive, you will go past at least 10 different kinds of people who almost have their own language, their own culture, their own history, their own something that's just, they barely even recognize they're Danes. They're like from that little region of Denmark and their family's always been that. And I can go 3 hours from here and I wouldn't understand what people are saying to me.
I can go three houses from here and not understand them. But it takes
because you got those cool round fields, though.
Oh, yeah, those are, yeah, little alfalfa fields, agriculture stuff.
Yeah. I found that fascinating.
It's simple, you know. It's a good way to automate, you know.
Yeah, if you got a lot of land.
Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah.
So it saves so much labor, you know, to be able to just automate that process of growing the alfalfa, you know, which feeds the cattle, which produces the meat, which you eat, and then you crap out and becomes fertilizer to grow more alfalfa. Hey!
It's
all connected. Oh.
All connected. We got to connect alfalfa, though. We'll do that some way.
Yeah, and he doesn't have. You don't have to connect alfalfa to buckwheat. That was just a show.
Yeah. I've never seen that, children. I know it. That's the sick part of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I know what it is.
They were fairly iconic, you know.
Yeah, I know.
The little,
I think they played it, they aired it on Danish TV when I was a kid.
The Little Rascals. I'm sure you could find them on YouTube or wherever.
Yeah. But it's funny because there are so many American things I know what is that I've never even seen.
Yeah.
But because they're referenced in movies or in other, it's like, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
We still have one question on my notes.
Okay. What is that question?
Well, that's the big question, though, the one you needed time to think about.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Okay. Well, it kind of starts with a statement, though.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna say a statement, and then you can say if you agree or not. And behind that is a question, right?
All right.
Okay. I would say that politically and economically and cultural power has been centralized at an almost exponential rate.
Okay. I don't know about the almost exponential part.
Okay.
But it
can just put an exclamation point behind centralized. And then a dash at the almost exponential rate.
Okay. I think, and it's pretty much been, as far back as recorded history goes, it has always been centralized. There's always been somebody willing to do what they're told by somebody that apparently has more power and wealth than they do. And I don't know how far back, when you go back to the ancient Egyptians or prior to that, and it was that way. There was some big poobah in charge of things, and the people followed him or did his bidding for him. And the people that were doing his bidding for him, then the other folks that were just regular people would go ahead and obey, because those people doing the bidding for the big guy in charge that had convinced the rest of those people to do his bidding for him, that somehow that they should go out there and enforce his will against all of the rest of the people that were just regular folk.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say, if you like just take the last 500 years, wouldn't you say that the centralization and the size of power in the political and economic and cultural elite and world has increased tremendously? And if you just take 500, wouldn't you say it's like almost exponential?
Maybe.
So
I don't
the
know.
Last
I
like
think
50 years went like nuts.
Maybe, but I guess I was talking about the ancient Egyptians.
Yes.
And anybody that wasn't one of the guards or the security people, the rest of the people were slaves.
Yeah, so it's more like a cyclical thing, right? Then.
Yeah. So. And
it's like it expands and then it inflates and then it expands and then it inflates.
And see, you know, the people of America, the Americans, believe, and they actually absolutely believe this, that when Lincoln was in office, and after he killed a whole bunch of other Americans because they didn't believe like he did, that he ended slavery, which is absolute nonsense. Because instead of just having a certain group of folk under slavery, he made everybody under slavery not he personally, but through his actions what was to become of that through the banking system, created an entire nation of slaves, thinking that they were free. But
how did that happen, Grimnir?
As I was talking about earlier, when America was started by war, it was founded on war, and through the funding and financing of other people that had a lot of means to do so. And so they funded, you know, one side funded the Americans, and another side funded the Brits. Either way, the ones that funded the Americans after the wars were over, they said, here's what we want to pay that all back. So how did that happen? Was because it's all controlled through the currency system.
So, but how did people just let it? How did that happen?
Because they accepted it. They believed that they were free. They were told they were free. They accepted that. This document over here, this Constitution, which people don't realize doesn't even apply to them. It only applies to the people within the area called Washington, D.C. And then not all of those either, just those that are connected to the government. it's a whole different story that we're not going to get into here. But but they believe that document granted or protected, it's supposed to be protected, but they believe it granted them freedom, which it was never designed to do. It was people that think it applies to them. It doesn't. They're never a signee on that document. They don't have those rights. And then when now, even worse, of course, then you say, "Oh, I'm a citizen, so I have these rights as applied by that document." And then they have their birth certificate, which automatically signs their property, their own body, themselves, over to another entity at birth, and everybody's got to have one.
But see, that's because, that comes back to rights, though, right? Because rights is not something that automatically, that attaches itself to your being. You don't become anything you weren't when be given a right.
Yeah, well, you can't be given a right. Your rights either exist.
Exactly, because you don't get anything. It doesn't alter you in any ways.
No.
So what you have is abilities, right?
Right.
Every one of those rights for you is an ability, right? Able to do.
It should be.
And then the right, as per defined, is going to be a restriction on government and state. On what they cannot do to you.
Supposedly.
Right?
Yeah. Not that they care about any of that, but yeah, supposedly.
that would be it, right? Because you don't get the ability to speak when you're given a right. It's not like I couldn't speak before. I didn't have any vocal cords, but then I got my right, and now I got vocal cords, so now I can speak.
Right.
That's not how it works, right?
Exactly. Or refuse to speak. If that's your choice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or protect yourself.
Too few people remember that one group.
Yeah, I know. Sadly. <Yeah. laughs> All right. Well, let's wrap it up here, and we'll do pick it up either here or someplace else at the beginning of next week.
Sure. Sure. It's all connected.
Yeah, it is.
And we got to do alfalfa beans or what they're called next week.
Bean sprouts?
No, the alfalfa. That was bean sprouts, right?
Well, bean sprouts are typically an alfalfa, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then next week's topic will be bean sprouts, right?
Well, unless we change our mind.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We've had a good time here doing the show. hopefully you've had a good time listening to us with any luck. Anyway, we'll be back again next Tuesday, same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you, Cirque, for joining me here. I have enjoyed this. I really did. And so that's a huge difference from...
But it's Monday.
I know. What did I say, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. I don't know. Whatever. Days are days. But on Tuesday...
On the first Tuesday of the week. Not the second Tuesday of the week, but on the first Tuesday...
on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, you have In a Perfect World with Flash. And he'll be going solo on that. So check him out. He's on at 3 p.m. Eastern. Wait, no. Is that right? Yeah, 3 p.m. Eastern. So check him out tomorrow. And there's nothing on Wednesday, but Thursday is something. Or not. I forget. All right. Anyway, just check the schedule on reallibertymedia.com. And thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Got anything else, sir?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't
dropping
add like
foil.
A whoop whoop.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later. Peace.